السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Tuesday morning and inshallah Aziz, going on to tech news today. We look at stories out of the tech section, technology issues to do with new innovations, etc. And inshallah Aziz, we will be taking benefit from what is happening in the tech world, but particularly how it affects us. That is the important thing. And well, what we are going to be doing before we go on to tech news is that we're going to be speaking a little bit about Hajj and how technology has affected our Hajj. Now, if you look at how technology has affected Hajj, you can see that in numerous ways we benefit from technology during our Hajj, and we, in fact, it has changed the face and the way that we perform Hajj. Firstly, basically from our means of transport, already you can see there's a change where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced in the Quran Kareem to Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. That يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, they will come to you walking, وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ, upon every conveyance. Now that conveyance, in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right up until the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even later on, was by camel, horseback, maybe by ox wagon also, if there were oxen available in that area in that time. And then further on, it went on to motorized technology. You went on to motor vehicles. Then you went on to buses. People came by ship. They used to travel to Saudi Arabia, and then from there, whatever mode of transport was taken from there. And now you go on to further aspects of technology when it comes to transport of Hajj. You got jets, you got aeroplanes, you've got helicopters, you've got trains, you've got cars, you've got very fast cars as well, and all of this different type of technology and advancement in means of transport has contributed to a much better and much simpler, much more convenient Hajj, we can say. Then you come to the means of communication. When it comes to the time of knowing when it is Hajj, that is also, we can see from the days of letters and the days of postage, now you're going on to email and social media and electronic messages. Then you've got the Hajj and the accommodation in Hajj, that is also greatly advanced from the days of tents. Now you've got your hotels and the like thereof. Then you have your meals also greatly advanced. Then you have your Hajj and your Jamarat and all of that. So there's great advancements in technology when it comes to the way that Hajj is carried out and how it has changed the face of our Hajj. But the Kaaba definitely remains the same. There is no technological advancements in the Kaaba, and that is the objective of visiting Makkah Mukarrama, and that is the main point of our Hajj. The climax of our Hajj is to be able to see the Kaaba and to make tawaf of the Kaaba, and that is what we really enjoy, and that is what we really look forward to when it comes to our Hajj. So Hajj has been enriched, Hajj has been developed, Hajj has been made easy by means of this different technology. We take advantage of it, and we use whatever extra time we have at our hands, inshallah Aziz, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the stories that we are going to be looking at when it comes to technology today, one common problem that we have is our phones falling into water, whether it's into a swimming pool or a bath or sometimes even to an open toilet, the phone falls in. And so the question comes that how do you sort out a wet phone? And a common answer is that put it into a bowl of rice. Many of you would would attest to this, that put your phone into the bowl of rice and you can sort it out. So a person, one of the tech gurus, decide to try this whole trick of putting into rice and check whether it really works. So the rice, whether it's supposed to be cooked or uncooked, obviously people say that it's supposed to be uncooked. And then the answer that they got out of this was that in 2014, Gazelle.com ran a semi-formal test, and it indicated that it did not. And uncooked rice was the least absorbent, and cat litter, and the like thereof, and they tried many, many different things. They found that it doesn't work. But rice definitely absorbs water, and absorbing water is the key to saving a phone, so rice will save your phone, even though the test proves that it doesn't. And you need to make sure that that phone is dried up completely in all the circuits and etc. All the water is drawn away from the circuitry. So the rice trick does have one unique and very powerful property, and that is that you must never power up your phone after it is wet, and you need to leave your phone out in the sun, and you put the phone in rice, and you can possibly save your phone. So that's one trick that we've learned there. Then in terms of tech and technology awards, a Limpopo teacher has won a top tech award. Now Tini Molepo of Polokwane is a primary school teacher at Motibedi Combined School in Limpopo. She won the award thanks to her work using technology tools like Skype to boost reading and writing skills in her learners. And she says that my passion is helping others live up to their potential, and I've realized that technology can play a big role in helping all of us fulfill our life goals. She says, I'm very pleased to have used Skype, for example, in the educational environment in a worthwhile way. It's very important for donors and sponsors to be able to see how their materials are helping learners and educators in real ways every day. And so she used this technology and she won a tech award. Excellent work there. And you've heard of fiber optic. Well, fiber optic cables and fiber optic technology and fiber optic internet is the new fad, is the new in thing. And this has an article out of Fin24 says that new JSC fiber link speeds up training. So transporting financial data between global capital market participants and Africa's biggest stock exchange is set to become faster. And local data center vendor Teraco announces new 32-kilometer high-speed, low-latency fiber link between its Isendo facility and the Sandton-based Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Networking company Dark Fiber Africa built the fiber link. Brokers, traders, data feed providers, and telecom companies will have faster, more efficient trading routes with the JSE thanks to the link. So there's faster internet, faster business. And here's a worrying story. WhatsApp hack leaves millions vulnerable. Millions of WhatsApp users could still be vulnerable to a flaw in the popular messaging application that allows hackers to send malicious code. Security firm Checkpoint researcher Kasif Dekel on Wednesday revealed that he had uncovered a vulnerability which allows a cyber criminal to exploit WhatsApp web logic and trick victims into executing malicious code. The exploit works by compromising the WhatsApp for web interface, which allows subscribers to use a PC to engage in online chats. Hackers then targets a V-card format contact card attachment, which they can use to hide executable code. So what they will do is that this is not for your mobile phones, but more of for people who are accessing WhatsApp on the internet. So you can get your WhatsApp messages on a website and everything appears as it was on your phone. It would appear on this website. So they'll send you a V card, which is a contact card, and you open it, and then the virus is into your computer. Once the victim clicks what he or she believes to be a contact card, the code can run on the target computer and perform tasks assigned to it. Checkpoint warned WhatsApp, which has 900 million users, about the vulnerability on August 21st, and the Facebook-owned company released an update a week later. However, users who have not updated their WhatsApp client remain vulnerable to the flaw, which requires no hacking tools to execute. So if you've updated, you possibly could be safe. Have you heard of spending? You spend money, or when you pay by card. And now the future of payments could include an array of new technologies. You have biometrics, where they can use fingerprints to pay in app stores, or sometimes biometric payments can even be used at pay points in the future. Then you have watches, wristbands, and rings. They have wearables. So this is wearable technology, like the Samsung phones and the Apple Samsung watch and the Apple watch and the like thereof. So you'll be wearing it on your wrist, and you can pay with that when the company or the shop has the device. And the secret handshake. Now what's this? Back in 2013, ad company 22 Square tried to integrate the code of the playground into our payments. The idea's secret handshake is a combination of Leap Motion controller and a point of sale API that allows the consumer to pay with gestures. So this gesture would be unique to you. So theoretically, you can make it as convoluted as you like, although we wouldn't recommend it. So that's then the internet, where you pay. Amazon introduced its new dash buttons, which stick to your furniture and allow you to purchase particular products at the push of a button. Attach a dash button for washing powder to your washing machine, for example, and the next time you're running low, you just push that button and it orders directly from Amazon. Or you put the dash button on your fridge and or near your milk, and you press that and it orders milk for you. So there's all strange types of strange type of payment methods, etc. And we just have to be careful that we are holding on to our cash and making sure that we do not in any way compromise our security and our wealth by these payment methods. You need to be very, very careful of that. We are now at 24 minutes after 11. We'll take a break, and inshallah al-Aziz, when we come back, we'll be speaking to Maulana Yahya Bam. Stay tuned. 29 minutes after 11, welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Tuesday morning, and during this half hour, inshallah al-Aziz, our guest is Maulana Yahya Bamsab. And we welcome Maulana on the line now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Maulana?
Wonderful, Maulana. What a beautiful spring morning, hey? And I'm sure it's the same in Ermelo. A beautiful weather, and we only need to make the shukr of Allah here in South Africa, the way Allah has given us beautiful weather.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Yes, excellent weather today, quite warm compared to the previous days. And inshallah, we're looking forward to a beautiful 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, inshallah. These are most Mubarak and blessed days.
Wonderful, Maulana, wonderful. It is some of the great, biggest days and nights, because Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam of these days and the greatness, to show the greatness in the Quran Kareem with regards to these first 10 nights and 9 days. Maulana?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wal-fajri wa-layalin ashar, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, that by the qasam of the dawn and by the qasam of the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, most Mubarak and blessed days, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also mentioned, great reward for these days.
Maulana, with regards to the importance of these days, you know, if you take it in comparison, if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls it the great days, the big days, and the emphasis are laid on the importance and the value of these days. And it does not say after the month of Ramadan. So in its own way, in its own measure, these are very, very great days, Maulana. And the difference in the month of Ramadan and the days of Ramadan, or the last days of Ramadan, and these days, these 10 days and nights is that in the month of Ramadan there is a build-up of the Rosa and the build-up of Taraweeh, and then people will go into the Itikaf and approach it on a very ibadat level. While here in this 10 days, in the days of Zulhijjah, it is wherein we are on almost now a normal space of doing things, you know, going through days, life, whatever we are doing. But to be Allah focused and to spend these nights with the days and with whatever work is going on, still to be Allah minded and Allah conscious, this is the greatness of these 10 nights, Mawana.
These Mubarak days, we really have to focus and concentrate on them. You know, in the month of Ramadan, Mawlana, we have our fard fasting, we have our Taraweeh at night, and so Alhamdulillah, the atmosphere and environment is created very beautifully. But in these 10 days, there's no particular fard ibadat that are attached to these 10 days, and so sometimes we can also become neglectful and forgetful.
Yeah, you just carry on in your normal daily things, and right, you forget. Because in Ramadan, that Rosa is there, that Itikaf is there, that whole build-up is there, Taraweeh in the nights, and all these are constant reminders and matters that pull you back into thinking of the importance of the days that we are in. Here, as though you're just going free, but yet to be Allah conscious, Allah mindful, and to do the ibadah, starting off with the jama'at that we need to make 5 times a day. If a person completes the jama'at 5 times a day and abstains from guna, he has attained great in these 10 days already, Mala.
Yes, that simple thing of performing our salah with jama'at is something that we all have to make sure that we do, and abstaining from sin, abstaining from any type of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Alhamdulillah, there are great, great benefits and virtues out of these days.
Mawlana, these ibadats that Allah Ta'ala has given us, look at the hadith with regards to certain tasbihat and zikr. One is, yes, to be able to get that opportunity to sit in the masjid and to read the Quran, which, as we said, that in the month of Ramadan we do so much. But here it is while doing the daily thing. In one hadith it comes, the person that says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Thinking and having the mind set on what we are reading, Allahu Akbar 100 times, the rewards are two. Such great are the rewards. One is as though he is slaughtering 100 animals, camels, in Makkatul Mukarramah and distributing it among the poor. And number two, the whole space between the earth and the skies get filled with the nur and the thawab of the saying this Allahu Akbar. Now, if a person does it, the same applies to other such zikrs, reading of the road, reading of whichever tasbihat a person remembers, and doing that while going through one's day. This is the beauty of these days.
Increasing in every part of, or every type of ibadah, and increasing in recitation of Quran as well, will be greatly beneficial for us. If we haven't been doing it, at least to give and set aside a time of our day to engage in this ibadah.
Without doubt, Mawlana. But now, to be able to streamline this day, rearrange some ibadat moments, is what we need to do in these 10 days of Zulhijjah, while at the same time, people will be, that are gone for Hajj, they have the ibadat in a different form. We are also linked to that ibadat of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam in a different way here where we are, Mawlana.
Mawlana, when it comes to commemorating the life of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, I think it's very important for us to know about the entire lives and the entire history of this blessed Amir alayhi salam.
It happens, Maulana, that a person hears a little now, a little then, a little here and there, and in that way they pick up these incidences and these great lessons and teachings. But to be able to sit down at times to ask our alims that please go through the whole life story of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, step by step, the way it's put together in the kitabs, in the Quran and Sunnah, and to be able to go through that lesson. This is one more such thing which many people miss out. And hearing the bits that we hear sometimes about the Qurbani, sometimes about the pelting, sometimes about Sayyidina Hajra running between the mountains, sometimes the way they are left in the desert, all these bits and pieces we hear now and then, here and there, we need to hear it together at one go. And we could request our ulama that please give us a lesson, or please give us a program, and put all these for us together at one go. Maulana?
Yes, yes, that is important for us to take our time to learn and take benefit. And we would really encourage the ulama and imams of the various masajid as well to carry out extra programs in your masjids. And even if it be a simple educational program, have that program just to teach your community and encourage them with regards to these Mubarak days.
Yeah, Maulana, we have different programs with regards to this. One is related to this is the Hajj, and people will learn the Hajj and the masail of Hajj as they're going for Hajj. Then we have Qurbani and Qurbani related matters, the animal, the sizes, the ages, and how to slaughter and how to go about the slaughtering. That's another aspect. But here we're talking simply about the very life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the ayat of the Quran, and how Allah Ta'ala has put it for us step by step to learn that. But it is spread over the Quran. It is spread in many hadith. To be able to sit and listen to it at one go and make sense of what great powerful messages there are in these ayat and in the teaching and the life of our father Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam.
Listeners are welcome to call in on 011-854-1548. You can even WhatsApp or SMS on 073-173-8461. Inshallah, you can discuss or come to us with your suggestion, any questions that you may have with regards to these Mubarak 10 days. Maulana, when we look at these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, like you mentioned, the Tasbihat and our Fard Salah with Jama'ah, how does a person inculcate and build up to increase in ibadah?
Well, with regards to building up the amount of ibadah, a person needs to put in a proper concerted effort, make the mind up that I need to do this. It will just not simply happen, but that a person needs to take out the time and say that these are the 10 days I'm going to now sit between, for example, Asr and Maghrib, reading Quran. So Badal Asr, my time is dedicated to Quran reading. After Maghrib, I'm going to go for Gush with the Jama'ats that are going out, or whatever such similar I'm going to do. Certain days I'm going to go, I'm even going to, and this happens better on the farm side, and really if somebody seriously thinks of taking that animal that I've already bought and taking it out to graze, taking it out to walk, and let it be given a chance to be in the free open. And in this way, that great feeling of the Qurbani that is going to be done with the children, you are walking these animals outside, and the children also feel that love and closeness. What a difference it will happen to your life and the child's life and the connection between the two of you as you do this with that animal that you're going to slaughter. In this way, Maulana, then we go into the night, in the evening and into the night, have a little more talim in the home, sit with the wife and the children and talk about deen. Then in the loneliness of the night, tahajjud namaz, reading of zikr, reading of the Tasbihat, and in this way, Salatul Tasbih itself, to make it one special ibadah to do in this night, and the taking out of time to make the zikr of Allah and the dua. Dua, we forget that it is also an ibadah. In this way, these various different duas and tasbihat and zikr need time to be taken out to be completed, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maulana, we'll take a short break now, inshallah Aziz. We will come back with our program just after that. In the meanwhile, listeners can call in and they can WhatsApp and SMS as well on 073-173-8461. Stay tuned to Al Mashreq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al Mashreq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to our guest, Maulana Yahya Bamsab. Maulana Sahab, with regards to these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, what else do we have to advise and remind our listeners?
Maulana, the place where you will start, and this is where we normally start, is abstaining from guna. And really, if a person takes this as a very serious beginning point, that a person doesn't do anything much. One is the five namazes, and the zikrs after the five namazes, and the Quran little that he read. But if a person abstains from guna, if a person abstains from sin, they've already done much already, Maulana. Quite a bit has been done already. To become conscious and to abstain from guna. Let us say, if you start off by saying, I will not do any guna, then you have already, alhamdulillah, reached that first step of vilayat. Now on that, whatever you add on will be that which takes you further to Allah. And while doing these tahajjud namazes and the zikrs of Allah, be mindful about not hurting anyone. When we are saying that not to commit guna, many and very often minds might go to, I must not commit fraud, or I must not kill someone. But these petty little things which we think about, we don't think about as serious. We need to pick up and worry and touch on that. Not to hurt anyone, either by words or by our action. And this is the way a person starts, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. So our conduct with others and the way that we conduct ourselves and the character, the akhlaq that we show, that is also important. It's also part of gaining closeness to Allah Ta'ala.
Maulana, not only is it a little part, it's a very great part, a very important part. And if we are, the same applies when a person goes for Hajj. A person might ask, what are the ibadats I must do constantly? Sit in one corner and read Quran. No, that's not what the ibadat is. A haji is that one that makes salam and gives water to the people to drink, and he spreads this great goodness in being kind to those other hujjaj that are with him. These are important ibadats to be making in Hajj, and the same will apply here also, Maulana.
Many of those people who are there in Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj, particularly South Africans, are listening to us as well. What advice would you give them in the way they spend these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah in their run-up and the preparations for the Mubarak days of Hajj?
Maulana, what I see very importantly that is coming out from many saintly people that are in the Hajj at the moment and that are speaking about the people that are in Makkah and Medina, they are constantly complaining and talking about the bihurmati, the respect of the great harams. And it comes in the hadith, until the time that we will respect these harams, Allah Ta'ala will give us dignity and Allah Ta'ala will give this ummah great upward movement. But if we're going to break the respect and the honor of this haram, then Allah Ta'ala is going to break us. And we can see the various type of calamities and constant matters that are befalling this Ummah. And we see that those that are going for Hajj, while they are in this Hajj, with this camera, for example, one very important, you'll be standing in front of the Kaaba, taking that photo, husband and wife, selfies, photos that they are taking, and that haram and that respect of the haram, the great respect that is supposed to be there, many are losing that one. And that's one of the saddest things that has happened. That in the Hajj, then number one. Number two, Maulana, being a person that is associated with a travel agency, we see the picture from the other side, not the passenger side. On the other side, where we are the people that are trying to arrange for the comfort of the Hujjaj. Maulana, one is the travel agent to the company, tries as best as they can. But the way our Hujjaj demand petty little small things and make those the issues enough to spoil the Hajj, it is very surprising, Maulana. We go there and having no yaqeen that Allah is the one that has invited us. Allah is the mezban. We are mehman to Allah. But the way our demand increases is something to really be worried about, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when it comes there to Makkah Mukarramah, we, despite all of the advancements in technology and despite all of the luxuries and it's more and more, it seems like a more beautiful city, but we have to really understand the spirituality behind the place and understand that it is not these modernities that are there for the purpose why we are there, but the purpose why we are there is for the Kaaba and for coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And if that is not going to be held, then you will carry on in the bazaars of Makkah, and there are big shopping malls, and then if a person comes to Aziziyah, then there are such huge, big shopping malls that a person almost forgets that he's in Makkah, Medina. So to remain in haram focus, and to remain in wanting to be those that derive most from Makkatul Mukarrama, we need that concerted effort, Mawla.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah, Aziz. And Mawlana, also for those Hujjaj that have moved to Aziziyah, like you mentioned, and they are there, how often should they be visiting the Haram?
Those that are gone to Aziziyah, and it really depends on the crowd, how it's building, and how the momentum is, and the importance of the stay in Aziziyah is in itself very, very much necessary, in that one now really prepares for the Hajj. The masail by the ulama are done in these days of Aziziyah. Final preparation to fine-tune every step of the Hajj, and is done section by section. So people should not, in the days of Aziziyah, think it is days just to go by. But no, these preparation. One is the spiritual preparation. Number two, the preparation in the form of these bayans and masail that the ulama are giving while we are in Aziziyah. Number two, and number three, it should not be, I've seen that before Hajj, Hajj starts on the 8th of Zulhijjah, on the 7th and on the 6th, people are now going to do a full Umrah, and the crowds are very heavy, and by the time Hajj come, by the time 8th of Zulhijjah come, they are so very heavily taxed on their body that the Hajj becomes difficult, Maulana. Then a very important matter to be discussed by those that are going for Hajj is this walking Hajj. With Hajj being now in summer, walking Hajj, it has very, very great rewards. But if we see, how did Nabi Kareem himself do his holy Hajj? His only one single Hajj. How did he do it? He did not do it walking. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was riding on a camel to show to the Ummah that there is great reward in the walking Hajj, but if the necessity be, then you're going to do it by driving, by riding, by being on the buses. Because I see people that walk from Mina to Arafat, and by the time they get to Arafat, because of the walk in the summer, in the heat, and being drained, they are so heavily taxed that they are almost unconscious, while this moment of Arafat were really the moments of dua, and that is what you aim for, and that's the pinnacle of the Hajj itself, Maulana.
Mm. This is, these days, as the Hajjaj are building up to the, you know, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah or the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, when they are about to go to Mina and getting ready to go to Arafah, this is the peak of their journey. And even though they may have been there for a number of weeks already, but they really have to build themselves up greatly for these days.
Maulana, and those that are going for Hajj the first time, they need to fine-tune and understand every moment of how it's going to be, what is going to be done first, how the groupings are going to be, what part is going to be done by bus, what is going to be the first section that is Azizia to Mina is taken by walk. So how, if you're going to start walking haphazardly, it is very difficult to walk among those millions that are going to have been gathered. So to listen to these bayans and training sessions and programs in these days, the people that are taking, operators that are taking the Hajjaj will even walk them through the gullies of Mina, take them to the pelting areas to show them where the Jamarat is and how it is done. So that while the Hajj is on, if for some reason they separate, they can find their own way back to either Azizia or their camp or whatever, those type of matters where they are lost, they can find their way back, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah, Aziz. Maulana, we have now come to the end of our program. And we will speak to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Just finally, Maulana, before we hang up, the dua on the morning of the 10th, the dua on the morning of the 10th is very important to emphasize that after Fajr Namaz, to make the dua before leaving Muzdalifah, and let it not be that dua is left out, Maulana.
Yes, inshallah, Aziz. Jazakumullah khairan for your time, Maulana. We'll speak next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran jazilan to Maulana Yahya Bamsaf. Shukran to my studio operator, brother Ziad Khan. And shukran to you for listening from Junaid Jasat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.